coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Old School on the stream? Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Old School brought to you the new school way. We are brought to you by the Mercado. Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt/Old Cheney, 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on, obviously, in college football. We got NFL stuff going on. A lot of things going on in the NFL, like always. Some exciting games, potentially probably the game of the year with the Broncos and the Giants. And them Colts are representing to the fullest. That was a beatdown that they gave yesterday. And it was one of the funniest things where you saw the owner on the sidelines, inspiring the team. I mean, she's obviously all, invested in, the team, trying to connect with the players. Seeing the owner down there keeps everybody accountable. But if you need any, more assurance that Daniel Jones is here to stay, I mean, can't get much more than the first part of the season. Some interesting takeaways. I mean, you started the week off last week with Joe Flacco doing what Joe Flacco does, is coming out of off the couch, but essentially got traded and throws for 300 yards, upset the Steelers. And then you had the Browns beating the brakes off the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel's still around, which that was interesting in itself. I mean, I don't know where they go from here as far as the Dolphins. And then you got the team that's probably the second most sneakiest team, but the team that probably definitely is the team to be reckoned with is the Patriots. They seem to be getting better. Drake May seems to be playing better and better each week. Mike Vrabel effect.
Good coach.
Great coach. And knows the Patriot way, but he's doing it his way. He knows how to connect with the players. I think he has the credibility as a former player and obviously a winning coach. And I think he has a really good eye for talent. And how to use it. And then also he's able just to kick it straight to the players. He got rid of Jabril Peppers. He really didn't want to, but knew they had to develop some young guys. Gave him a chance to go somewhere. He's still getting paid because his contract guaranteed, so he's able to make big boy decisions and allowed to. Has a good relationship with Coach Kraft, or not Coach Kraft, but Mr. Kraft, the owner. So they're on their way. Unfortunately for my Bills,
you got a chance to tie for the division lead here. But you'd still be down on tiebreaker, wouldn't you?
Josh Allen needs to get it going.
Does he ever?
In the defense.
How much of that is Josh Allen? How much of that is team context around him right now?
Well, they don't have a number one receiver.
Patriots, which was a choice.
Patriots do. It's a choice, and it's been the choice. The defense is they were really banged up. I mean, all their defensive players were out. They just don't look good right now, and that's sometimes the way it goes in the NFL, and they can get the winning streak going. But I'm going to tell you the team that's the most dangerous besides the Colts.
Is it your AFC North leader?
No.
Really?
It's them Chiefs.
Ah. Should have known.
Division game against the Raiders, a team that they kind of struggle with, right? And that offensive weapons are back, and Patrick Mahomes seems to be back. They are dangerous.
As many first downs as the Raiders ran total plays for the Chiefs yesterday.
This is what the Chiefs and the Chiefs fans have been waiting for. Efficiency from Patrick Mahomes, 3 TDs. His antics are back. Travis Kelce, 54 yards. Rasheen Rice and everybody got theirs. And the defense pitched a shutout in the league. I mean, it's an interesting week. I mean, you got my, New York Jets. They're still 0-4. Panthers are on the
upset. With a better point differential than the 1-6 Dolphins.
I know, but but Aaron Glenn's the head coach. But now you're wanting to get some, that win. It's hard to get your first win. Kind of like Dan Campbell with the Detroit. They've close, doesn't get it going. And then the Cowboys. Yo. You don't know what you're going to get with the Cowboys. They're 3-3-1. I never thought George Pickens would be in the league this long after some of his antics. But He fits in with Dallas.
roguish, just like his owner.
He's a rogue.
His team's owner.
But he fits in with Dallas. C.D. Lamb comes back, and the best play was George Pickens caught the ball. It did first down. It was like all up in that dude's face. It's welcome in Dallas. The one thing that's actually something to study. An owner pretty much sits down with you and said, I'm going to let you be you. And you're seeing something. And the defense looked a little bit better. The Commanders were the it team. Now, look, they faced some injury issues in the contract disputes, and it hadn't really allowed them to get off to the start that they like. But
in a second place schedule.
Yeah, which is a little bit harder. Quarterback might be out for a week or two with a strained hammy. You know, they got rid of Robinson, traded him, right? And mm-hmm. So, you know, the guys that were in your locker room with your identity is gone. Defense is a little bit older. And, you know, your second year to validate, you know, who you are, or who you thought you were, is a little bit different.
Dallas intrigues me. I don't think Washington is cooked. Giants are showing signs of life. Don't know if it's going to be enough to save Dable, but they're at least interesting now. They haven't been interesting in a couple years.
They're fun to watch, for sure.
They are,
yeah.
Which is a marked departure. NFC North is still interesting. 4-1-1, 4-2, 4-2, 3-3.
It's up for grabs.
Still, Minnesota has not played that well.
No.
And they're a game back.
And do you trust Detroit? We're going to see tonight.
Here's a big test for them.
You're going to see tonight. Mm-hmm. At home against Baker Mayfield, who is probably the leader in the clubhouse for MVP. Should be. Who? Daniel Jones?
Don't make me say it.
Nah.
Don't make me say it.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, is Daniel Jones or Jonathan Taylor?
Both of them have a legit gripe, but Baker Mayfield set up this year's potential MVP if he continues on the rest of last year. So he has a little bit. It's kind of like
the year after. Right. Yeah, I guess.
Daniel Jones definitely comeback player of the year.
Oh, without a doubt. What did he come back from? The New York Giants.
Yeah. So you got to think just about this time last year, Daniel Jones got the complimentary. We're going to cut you. We're going to send you home.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously he landed on his feet with the Vikings, but he never played. Now you just essentially come in and we'd hope you get beat out by Richardson.
Gosh darn it, you were too good to not get beat out.
Right. And then they didn't believe in you.
More importantly, I didn't believe in him. I don't know how he overcame. Foreman confidence boost.
He's done it before in not ideal situations, and he's always stayed down.
10 toes.
I think that's just what that's a part of a quarterback being a leader is being able to assess and not cower from the expectations. And that's what he's been able to do. And now he's in. Plus, I've always felt like the Colts roster was better than what they've been able to put in the win loss column. Primarily, they have a, you know, playoff winning quarterback that has an offensive head coach that can really curtail his offense to his quarterback, kind of like how he got the job,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he was at Philly. And I like their weapons. And Jonathan Taylor's healthy. I think the offensive line is healthy. The defense has enough talent on it to cause some problems. And that's even with Xavier Howard retiring,
Getting retired.
That's got to be a mistake. why didn't I just ask for a week off to get my mind right? These dudes are going to the playoffs and win a division. You might get a first round bye.
Which again, that makes me wonder if he did ask for the week of inactivity, and the Colts said,
"Nah, you're good. Yeah, we're good. Take that week off. We got a couple more for you. Yeah,
here's 14 more.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's no different than college football. You just never know. A lot of these coaches can coach. They get in the right opportunity. I think Vrabel came back with vengeance, kind of. You know, not kind of Tennessee Titans, you know, got rid of him, and then you bring in Callahan, and now they got rid of Callahan. It was a pretty cool story where they said that Vrabel called Callahan.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of obviously is there. Look, this coaching business is a very tight-knit group. They know how hard it is, especially at that level of the NFL. Brian Callahan maybe just probably got comfortable in his house. He's got a family and stuff, so these coaches know what it's like, because when you get to the pros, you feel like you can settle in a little bit. And the Tennessee Titans is known for the owner. If she's embarrassed, you are gone.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Which is really too bad because...
That means if you get embarrassed means it's a bad loss.
Yeah.
In front of her friends.
Which you're the Tennessee Titans. You're supposed to lose this year.
But when you go back, whether it's Carthen or the two GMs, Robinson and Carthen, mm-hmm. both of them is because of moves that they have suggested to her. And Vrabel was supposed to be the guy. You're part of it. And now with Callahan. Gone. Now you got a whole new head coach with a number. Cam Ward was the number one pick, which you probably took on some of the want from the head coach to pick him. Now he's gone. Now if I'm Cam Ward, you essentially like Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. All those quarterbacks. You just out there with you in a crappy organization right now.
Crappy organization without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean it's not apples to apples.
You like Nashville.
Yes.
You know, you got a couple pieces around. I do like A.M. Manor, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good.
And I think they have pieces around it, but what I'm saying organization wise, the guy that drafted you, or the head coach.
Well, two guys.
Yeah. But the head coach that's gonna call the plays that likes you for his offense is now gone. And you have not knocked it out of the park from a quarterback standpoint. Now, skill position guys aren't up to snuff and all that, offensive line struggling, whatever. But you're not as secure as you were just 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I mean, let alone 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast things have changed. Yeah. But I that ownership piece is so tough. You know, if you're Cam Ward, are you just hoping that you can have your Joe Burrow run in spite of your organization? Do you trust you can get there? Or is this, do you already, when you're a rookie, start angling with your agent to poke around behind closed doors? I mean, I wouldn't like to see that. That feels a little transfer portal-y, college-y, kind of what Matt Rhule was saying, no, you lose a game and all of a sudden the world's ending, let's pack it in. Mm. Because I do think that, you know, Tennessee has never had that consistent high-level success, but they've proven they can get there in the past. It's the AFC South. Are you going to go to a more winnable division? No. Just if you're the franchise quarterback, and like you said, the owner's a little unpredictable, a little petty, you know, a little vindictive maybe about what the losses look like. I mean, that's no different than what Woody Johnson and the Jets, you know, the ambassador to the UK, you go overseas, you lose and you're gone. It's not new. You're not assured of escaping that situation in the NFL. Tough as it might be, you know, at the very least, you have to ride it out for your rookie deal. You've shown enough flashes to show that you got a little something in you. You don't have the cachet to make those big money moves quite yet. You're not Aaron Rodgers. You're not Joe Burrow that can go to the organization and say, do this or else. So in that case, all Cam Ward can do is make the best of what he's got. But that doesn't mean you can't set up some of those bigger picture conversations. But it's also on you. If you like Nashville, you like your division that you think you can win, do the best you can. Ball out as much as you can under unideal circumstances. And give ownership no choice but to invest in you as the guy.
Yeah, he's got to play well, take care of his business. I think the roster is better than what they play for or how they've been playing. Now, obviously, it's a big step for him to come in just straight from being drafted, giving the keys to the Bens. But they got a pretty decent roster. You know, you got to obviously lean on the GM to make the hire for the coach that matches. You know, you don't want it to be like the Carolina Panthers, hire this hotshot coach that hates the franchise quarterback. I mean, essentially, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young went number one. Cam Ward went number one. So you can't do that. You have to be lock and step with whoever you hire that this is the guy, and you're going to do everything possible to make him successful.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, Yeah,
then it's my head too.
Well, sure, but then the player won't be successful. The other players won't come there because the agents know that, and then the players see it. And then you got to really get lucky that the Panthers are exceeding expectations right now because of the defense, and they're 4-3.
Yeah.
Because the head coach, no matter what he says, that he wasn't trying to get him inspired. You ain't want Bryce Young. He wasn't your quarterback. You would have had the red rifle Andy Dalton in there. Except for, you know, unfortunately, he was in a car accident. So now Bryce Young is playing better. Not perfect. Now that Not playing tonight. Let's see what happens after this. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Tennessee Titans, you got to make sure that you get the best hire for Cam Ward.
More pleasantly surprised by Bryce Young's development and how things are going in Carolina, or more negatively surprised by what is going on or not going on in Atlanta?
I'm probably more pleasantly surprised about Bryce Young. I am not surprised about Atlanta. I think it was feast or famine. I felt like the move was reckless. I don't think Michael Penix Jr. was an NFL ready. I think he was a first round pick. I don't think he was
an NFL ready first round pick
right now.
Which is weird and not ideal for an older guy.
Well, you just paid Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed.
$180 million. $45 million yeah, guaranteed.
Like
for 4 years.
Just a few months ago, knowing that he was hurt, he gets hurt during the season, so he does what you want as a leader. You bench him and tell him that his arm strength is gone. Well, he's playing with a bum shoulder.
The Baker thing.
And then you tell him, then you don't trade him because you know you're going to potentially need him. Then furthermore, you don't let him compete for the spot that you gave away. So now you're just essentially going down with the ship on your bad decision. So you're not even trying to remedy that. So it's either you're comfortable from a GM standpoint, or you just don't evaluate quarterbacks that well.
Or both.
Or a little bit of both. Or you made an overzealous move. And now you're seeing it right now where, yeah, he's very talented. They do, and they have great skill position guys around him.
Yeah.
But the defensive game plan that San Fran was able to execute, high pressure, deep shell safeties, is what he's going to see for the rest of the year.
How about San Francisco, by the way?
This is probably his best coaching job, Shanahan's coaching job.
They've been decimated by injuries before. They haven't been 5-2 like this before.
Right. And they've always had their stars. They've been decimated by injuries when they had the best roster in the league. Hmm. They have a very young roster with very few stars, and they're balling out of control. And this is what Brock Purdy hadn't been playing. You get Mac Jones, who they kind of wanted before or thought about it, right? And you got Robert Saleh back, and who he's down superstars. You got, you know, your bell cow got hurt last week, but then you're able to find guys, and that's a, you know, tip the hat to development and scouting, mm-hmm. and the environment that they've created. It's next man up, and we're a winning franchise, and we're going to continue to win, and they're right in the mix.
And then you have, you know, like you said, your stars. Christian McCaffrey had more rushing yards than anyone else in the game combined.
Yeah,
that's kind of crazy. Led all players on both teams in receiving yards and scored more points himself with his touchdowns than the Falcons did all night.
It's one of those, I mean, you got to think with Christian McCaffrey, man, when he came out, you know, it was questionable, or they were questioning whether he could withstand the rigors of an NFL season or being a number mm-hmm. one back. And obviously he's put that to bed. But then when you think of the way he's been playing, I mean, correct me. I mean, I think he's in the Hall of Fame now, right?
Is he not already?
Right? Well, yeah, that's, I'm saying for sure. Now, I don't know whether he's first ballot or not. I think if he could get a championship for sure. But
well,
I
he gets in after Chuck Foreman gets in. That's the important part.
Yeah, he needs to get in after that and Roger Craig. And yeah, he needs to wait his time. But I just think that with him, man, this dude is, you know, being a smaller back like that, and he was cold-blooded in college. Mm-hmm. He was cold.
Just ask Iowa.
Yeah, that was the best part about it, where he did to Iowa. But a lot of questions and the ability to raise his game up. I think he's curtailed his running style to be an every down back. He can run in between the tackles. He's got great vision. And then when you need him the most, man, he just seems to rise to the occasion. You know, 24 carries, 8 targets in the pass game. Got great hands, matchup problem. And so when you think Brock Purdy's out, you're just getting Kittle back. You lean on 23, and this is after coming back from injuries and stuff. So the mental toughness is there. You can see why he's that dude.
I was concerned about San Francisco going into the year. Seven games isn't the whole season. Seven games isn't nothing. This is a legit sample size that, yeah, Kyle Shanahan is getting a lot out of these dudes. Now, obviously, quarterback plays a separator. We've seen some of the questions pop up for Purdy before and after the injury. Mac Jones certainly was not perfect yesterday, yeah, but he was good enough. You know, he did the whole game manager thing. Think about where he came from.
Dude, he was a Pro Bowler his rookie year, and then you can't even count after that because he essentially had beat coaching quarterback. I mean, that's a good way. But then for him to get traded, that's an ideal place for him to go. He understands what his role is. He's trying to really, I mean, he's kind of like Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones-esque in this part. If he gets out there in the open market, they'll go back to this situation here in San Francisco, and he'll be able to resurrect himself. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe it, look at Geno Smith. Who would you rather have now? Let me ask you this. I like Geno Smith, though.
He don't write back.
But I like Geno Smith in the sense of he took that punch on the chin from his teammates in the Jets, and he still answered. He got knocked smooth out. Who would you rather have right now? I don't even know if I'm away, but Geno Smith or Mac Jones on the Raiders?
It's hard for me to think that Geno Smith got so bad so fast.
In a change of area code.
I mean, obviously the team context is different. Has Chip Kelly had a guy like Geno Smith at quarterback before? Chip's still feeling him out.
Oh, Will Howard?
More mobile.
Than Geno? Yeah, he's a better athlete.
Mariota, more mobile.
For sure. And you know my man Dennis Dixon.
Dennis Dixon.
He's the coldest one out of all of them.
I mean, who are Chip's quarterbacks in Philly and San Fran?
It was Vic.
Vic was there.
Was it Kyle McCobe or whatever? Kyle Cole?
No, Kevin Cobb.
Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, Kevin Cobb is more in the Geno mold. I still think Geno's got more in the tank than he's showing / been able to show. But it's hard to argue that Mac Jones isn't playing better right now.
Yeah, I think I always wonder, Chip coming back to the NFL, like play calling. I think that initial shock that he did, remember the opening night against at that time the Redskins, then it slowly but surely stopped.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between having Ashton Jeanty and as a rookie and Shady McCoy like he did.
And them being 2-5, but him play calling, though. Like even the little stuff right here, this is where people always ask the difference when college coaches have to go to the pros, and this is also when you go from or college to the pros, the difference, like you're coaching grown men, right? And you're never as smart as you think you are when you get to the pros because you're essentially playing on their ground or their playground. And calling plays in college is different than calling plays in the pros because there's some guys that's just going to eliminate your whole playbook. Mm-hmm. You know, you go up against Aaron Donald, it don't matter what you're going to call. He's always going to be in there. You can prepare for him and change stuff. He can defeat everything. When you heard Chip Kelly trying to change Ashton Jeanty's stance, it kind of like the alarm started going off. It's like you're worrying about something that has nothing really to do with you. You're here to call plays. Mm-hmm. You're not the running back coach.
No,
that's that college mentality.
Trying to be the smartest guy in the room. I have control.
Authoritative, I'm the ruler type of mentality. Mm-hmm. Number one, I would say this. You evaluated and drafted this dude by him standing back there like he's Jason Voorhees, right?
Yep.
From Halloween. Mm-hmm. That's his deal. Number one, he's 5'8", so it helps his vision, and that's what he's comfortable with. You change it, he's not successful. He goes back to it, he's successful. You just wasted 2 or 3 games trying to do something that doesn't mean anything, because if that stance was affecting how he runs the ball, I understand it. But you just saw this man run for like 200 yards a game in college. Mm-hmm. With that same stance, with probably a little bit less of a talent-wise in an offensive line, and probably being the only offensive weapon that team's game plan for, but he was unstoppable.
Right.
That really worried me a little bit. Then the way that they were using Brock Bowers before he got hurt was a little bit questionable as well. You started to play Thayer a little bit more than the previous, where Brock Bowers was the year before.
He was one of the best rookie tight ends ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
and you don't really have anybody that's a difference maker on the outside. And
Jacoby Myers doesn't do it for you?
I think he's good. I think he's a number two. I think he's a really good number two. I think he's could be a really good slot. But is he your true number one, line up and like roll the defense to him? Probably not. And plus, I think Chip Kelly doesn't call his plays like that. His more a scheme.
Yeah.
They're trying to outsmart you, catch you in a bad coverage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Versus like, all right, dude, go make a play.
And even Myers, I don't know if he has that full like number one skill set, right? He's more the vertical guy.
Yeah. So he's your good complimentary piece. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, so that's where you got to like, they go out there and you get blanked in the NFL game.
At least it was the Chiefs. Falcons got blanked by the Panthers, which no matter how good that
Panthers defense is pretty salty. They got Derek Big
it's
Daddy.
The Panthers.
Listen, Derek Big Daddy Big Daddy Brown is a problem.
You can't get a field goal on the Panthers.
That's true. Not
that's all I'm
points.
Trying to say.
But that defense is pretty salty.
It is.
Yeah, they got a good defense line. So anyway, we want to take a quick break, come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the college carousel and who's gonna make the biggest move, because there's some competition now out there. And then when you think about a middle of the road team that I think might try to make a splash higher, I'll let you know. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. The coaches, consultants are here. We're going to decide where everybody should go and what's going to happen, even though nobody knows. I don't even think the schools know. They just know they want to go in and fire people. There's a lot of coaching openings. There will be more. You got to think sneaky good schools or sneaky good situations are open or potentially be open, like Arkansas, even though they brought back Bobby Petrino, right? Which just the fact that you brought back Bobby Petrino.
And the fact that that guy still has support among some pretty influential people.
Well, that lets you know. He's a good coach now, especially at the college level. He's been very successful. But yeah, I think there might be a new head coach there.
There might be Bobby Petrino.
It might just say, you know what? If they play well, then, you know, why not? He's the guy that would do something on the budget.
Oh, yeah.
So that's your when you think about it, your idea. He definitely could fit in there, right? Established coach, makes his money. He obviously likes Arkansas. I'm pretty sure he's learned some of his from his mishaps and stuff, right? But you got to think, like, you know, Virginia Tech, right? Could that be a domino effect where South Carolina comes open if they're able to get Beamer? If they don't get Beamer, who did Virginia Tech go and really make a play for a bigger name? Okay, who's going to go to Penn State, right? If it's, say, Manny Diaz goes up there, well, okay, then Duke has started to have some success football-wise. Who do they go get? They got to go spend some money. They got to change their the domino effect of every coaching move from here on out is going to be huge. You know, could somebody go and try to, you know, steal Arizona State's coach, young up-and-coming coach? Why not? Give him a great opportunity. He has an eye for talent. He has an eye, has the ability to you know, light some fire into your football program, probably be a breath of fresh air at some places, looking for a bigger opportunity on a bigger stage, even though he's done really well at Arizona State. And let's not forget Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. They are literally at the bottom right now. And they have that T-Bone Pickens money just in the kitty. Who do they go get? I always think if you fire an iconic coach or a big name coach, unless you're impulsive, you go get somebody else that you feel like that can, you know, that is going to be a name that's going to be there for a while. You don't go and just take a shot in the dark on somebody that's the complete opposite.
Not the complete opposite, but I could see Oklahoma State being in the running for some of those guys, you know, the North Texas conversation, mm-hmm. Texas State conversation. I think those guys come into play where
Tulane coach probably.
Yeah, potentially. I think he's been linked to Kentucky, especially if Stoops heads to the Seaboard to go to Virginia Tech. Kentucky fans are not happy with Mark Stoops. You know,
but he's happy with them.
He loves being the football coach at a basketball school, as he should. That's when I get the frustration that Kentucky wasn't able to take that next step. You know, when they had the Josh Allen before he became Josh Hines Allen, that really good year they went 10-2 with Levis and Wandale and whatnot. No, they didn't take the next step. Yes, that's disappointing. But dang, Kentucky, you're a basketball school. Don't run that guy out of town. Listen, you almost lost him to A&M before they revolted. So I think Summerall's more an SEC guy than a Big 12 guy. Sure. But if he doesn't get his SEC crack, Oklahoma State's got to make that call.
For sure. Well, the only way you're going to know if you ask. But you got to think, in the SEC, Kentucky could be open. They're at the bottom. So something's probably going to happen, mm-hmm. right? Just because we're paying you so much money. And we got rid of Kyle Perry, so we got a little bit of money left. Auburn. The coach is asking for the vote of confidence. So that either lets you know two things. Number one, he's got his eye on another job. So if you ain't going to keep me, you need to fire me now. Now, even though you brought him back. So that could be open. Arkansas is open. Then you got to think South Carolina could be open via Virginia Tech or somewhere else.
I'm not counting on that one.
I'm not counting Beamer leaving, but just say he does. Say he just goes and does it. You could understand why. Mm-hmm. They probably open up the checkbooks a little bit more for him. It's a known. You don't think another school would try to come in and take Mississippi Bulldogs head coach?
They've been playing better.
And he's done more with less.
He has.
Okay. And then, okay. This might be a sneaky name for Penn State. Mr. Stand on Business. Oh, yeah.
Stand on Business or Brian Kelly?
No, for Penn State?
Northeast guy.
No, you're going to get, okay, sure, right? He does fit. He does bring the offensive cachet. He's probably more in his wheelhouse, right? Mm-hmm. Recruiting. Definitely has inroads there.
I think Drinkwitz is better, to your point. I'm just saying.
If you're trying to really, the only problem I think with Drinkwitz is if he's going to fit with the alum.
He's been all over the place, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
but Penn State's different.
Did you see him going from App State to Missouri to Penn State?
Penn State's different.
It's different. Yeah. But Drinkwitz has found a way.
Yeah. Well, coaching wise, he'll be fine. I'm just talking about what he's got to do outside of the coaching.
Right. But I think he's, like you talked about with some teams, like I think he's a chameleon.
Yeah.
Like I think that fit makes sense to a point where you think about it. But the best coaches will find a way to make the fit.
Yeah. I don't think he'd be like,
he's not going to rub people the wrong way to that degree.
And do not think Lane isn't watching Gainesville. Now, I know he's mad they passed him over the first time for Napier. But if Lane is really thinking logically, yeah, you got a great spot at Ole Miss. You ain't going to never win there. If you want to get back to where you want to get to, it's got to be Florida.
Is Lane the type of guy to take them skipping over him the first time personally, or is he the type of guy to say
he did take it personally?
Well, I know, but I'm saying like and say no, you didn't want me the first time, so you don't get me the second time. Or is Lane the type to say, haha, you finally made the right decision. I'm a better coach now. Let's do this.
It depends on who he's talking to and what he really wants out of his coaching realm. He's very comfortable where he's at. He's happy. I could see him taking that job, but there's got to be certain stipulations that got to be met before he even thinks about taking that job.
Financial stipulations?
Financial stipulations, power stipulations. He wants to be protected. He's got to be able to bring the guys that have been successful or help him be successful. But then also it might be a big risk. I think he's really in a good place to where mentally and emotionally, like he's at his best right now. And I think that's part of the reason why you see Ole Miss being successful. But he's always had an affinity for the University of Florida. He has a huge affinity for Steve Spurrier. Steve, the old ball coach, gets on the phone. That could sway him to get there. That's his hero. So that could be Ole Miss is a great job, too. Then where's Ole Miss?
Lane made it a better job.
Right, but it is now. So their bargaining power in the phone, in the numbers, in the people that they can call is a lot different than when they call Lane. Because mm-hmm. Lane needed them as much as they needed Lane. Mm-hmm.
Is USC trying to do in the Big Ten what Ole Miss has done in the SEC?
In some ways. And then how much does Lincoln Riley want to stay out there in California?
Them taxes be hitting.
Yeah.
But he also ducked the SEC the first time.
But it might want a different now. You might want that challenge. You might want that challenge. And let me
okay, you, okay, but if you're Ole Miss and Lane leaves, do you try to big brother Mississippi State and pull Levy?
You possibly could.
At least ask him. Ask the people.
Or do you really go big treasure chest and try to go get Lincoln Riley? I think Ole Miss is, I think it's like a little hidden gem. Now, I think they have some issues on campus still.
But you don't say.
Right, but I think they could do some good things. This is also interesting, right? James Madison is still on a heater. Now, I don't know who the head coach is, but I think he gets a call just for the Cignetti effect.
The Sean McVay effect has come to college.
Right. You know, if you keep it going, you're like, oh, it's just like, it must be something in the water with those coaches out there.
Bob Chesney is the guy's name. Like Kenny, but Bob.
Yeah.
He's 48.
Perfect age.
Entering his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it.
Why not? And then let's not forget, I know Nick don't want to hear this, and your boy, listen, now we're going to really talk some business now. Marcus Freeman.
Ex-comedian Freeman. Hey,
my brother. I know you have the hair paint in, but you should have known. You get updated on the forecast daily, probably two or three times. You had no dang business going on that sideline with your hair and your line painted on like that.
You knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming.
And you let it happen.
Now, you did recover and put the hat on. But just imagine the picture.
That was not a good hat, though.
Because you could just tell he never wears a hat. Look, he's too self-absorbed to wear a hat. He wants everybody to see how pretty he is. Look, the more females watch Notre Dame football than ever before because of Marcus Freeman.
And wait. So Marcus Freeman and Taylor Swift have the same effect?
Yes, they do. They have a group chat. Like, you watch the Notre Dame game? They
said, I am now.
Yeah, I am now. But what if Penn State tries to go get him?
Do you do that if you're Freeman?
Man.
I don't.
You can't go to church no more. Nah, I don't think you do. And don't sleep. Don't think Penn State still ain't looking, watching Matt Rule. Yep. They know Matt Rule better than everything. Better than anybody, right? So Nebraska bounce back, or so when they bounce back and they handle their business, they go to State College and they hadn't picked the coach yet. Now, you know,
you better hope Matt Rule doesn't fly out a day early to State College with the team. so someone keep,
I mean, the
keep
domino
tabs on
effect,
Coach Rule the whole trip.
The domino effect of everything. And don't think my man Coach Smith is just like sitting up there chilling at Michigan State. They're mad at him because he's football all the time. They're like, man, we don't get to hang out with you. You watching too much tape. That's one of the biggest complaints. He's football all the time. Now, let's also look at the Maryland Terrapins, right? Say, okay, they're 4-3, lost three in a row. Say they get back to 7 wins somehow. Mm-hmm. 6 wins, 7-6, kind of like Nebraska. Somebody could look at Mike Locksley and say, listen, you've exceeded extreme expectations.
Who is somebody? Because somebody really matters here. Your answer frames where I go. Who is somebody for Mike Locksley?
I don't know. He's a Saban guy.
Right.
I don't know.
He doesn't leave Maryland for Virginia Tech.
No.
Would he leave Maryland for Arkansas? I don't think he's way down the list for Ole Miss.
I think if he gets Maryland back to where he hopes to, because let's look at the schedule, right? If he can get him to 6 or 7 wins, I think he goes to them kind of like what Luke Fickell probably went through. I mean, Wisconsin had to give him some more money because if you fire him, you give him all that money.
Right.
I think he goes back to Maryland and said, man, I need some more support. I'm going to have to try to keep my young, roster together that's got great pieces. You got those two defensive ends and a defensive tackle and the quarterback. So you're just going to need some money just to keep those four on campus.
How old is Mike Locksley?
I don't know, but you know black don't crack. He always looks.
How old is Michael Oxley?
I don't know.
If you had to guess. 60?
He's
55.
Yeah, he's young.
He's got some years. I didn't realize he was that young. He's got some good years ahead of him in coaching.
Only bad thing, they play Indiana next.
Oof.
Kirk Cignetti is the equal opportunity. And listen, you play Rutgers. All right, you're at Rutgers. You think you can win that one. You got Michigan State at the end of the year. So now you're at 6 wins, right? Are they 4-3?
Sounds
3.
Right. Yeah.
So that Rutgers Michigan State games are huge. Now you got to try to either upset Illinois or Michigan. to get to 7 wins. Bowl game win, 8.
Where are those games?
At Illinois, at home against Michigan. Which you might be playing Michigan at the perfect time. Some guys are thinking about leaving Michigan. Who knows what Sharon Moore is thinking about or where he's at. You might be able to pluck them off, especially if the game's like 11.
Is there any chance Sharon's coaching Michigan next year too? Or not coaching Michigan, I should say.
I don't know what the contract's like. I don't know what the deal is.
It's middle of the road. They didn't give him a double-digit thing.
Buyout is not that much?
Well, think about when they hired him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You weren't giving him that much money that time.
He needs to sign his contract in like week 4.
Right.
Right. Maybe.
What?
But he beat Ohio State last year. That gives you a couple years of chilling.
If Michigan's 6-6, 7-5?
I think it depends on the vibe of the team.
But you lose Ohio State 10 of the year, at the very least.
And they get blown out?
Lose by 17.
Yeah, you on the hot seat.
34-17. 34-20.
I don't think you get rid of him. I think he's kind of just getting over. You give him one more year. I've heard he's a good recruiter.
But if you're Michigan and Pat Fitzgerald's out there.
Does he want to go to Michigan?
Is he a Penn State guy? You know, if you're Michigan, do you want to try to flex your muscle and say, you know what? Here's a guy that we
can
think.
Can you really hire Pat Fitzgerald at Penn State?
He got cleared. The other guys didn't.
Hey, man, you say that so matter of fact.
He did.
Yeah. I can see him. That's the name that nobody talks about.
He's out there. And he's going to coach again.
Yeah,
he's ready.
He come back with vengeance, too. Mm-hmm. I can't. I used to think that he would go to Stanford, but that's too far. I think he wants to get back in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's ready to.
I like him at Stanford. I don't hate him at Penn State. I don't think maybe Virginia Tech.
I can see him anywhere. You can see him anywhere.
I don't see him at Arkansas.
No, I mean, realistic. I mean, I'm talking about big time job.
Oklahoma State?
No.
Okay, here's my argument for Oklahoma State. He goes all Gary Patterson 2.0. Bring some defense to the conference.
It could be. Kenyatta Rice, their GM.
Yada
plug? Yeah, linebacker to linebacker.
Less likely, but don't you at least call him if you're Oklahoma State?
If Marcus Freeman goes to Penn State, do you think he can go to Notre Dame?
If I'm Notre Dame, I at least make the call. If nothing else, bring him in as DC for the next guy or something. Linebackers coach, veteran guy on staff. But he's going to be a head coach.
Yeah, he's going to DC. DC at worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, depends. I mean, who knows if they bring back Luke Fickell?
Oh, then Wisconsin's got to go scoop him up.
Well, Northwestern owes him some. Did they pay him already?
They are probably still in the aspect of paying him, would be my guess. There's no way they're out from underneath it yet.
Right. But he's got that. He's getting big, big money from them.
Yeah.
Who do you think the first big name coach is gonna get picked up? You think it's James Franklin?
It's got to be Franklin. I mean, he's the biggest name out there.
And Fitzgerald, who's bigger, him or Fitzgerald?
Franklin. It's got to be Franklin is the bigger name. I mean, he had right. Penn State in the playoff. Pat Fitzgerald gets credit and kudos for doing what he did at Northwestern. But, I mean, he didn't have the Indiana year. Well, maybe he did, but then they were booted from the Big Ten championship game or whatever. They got put in over Indiana in the COVID year or whatever the heck was going on then. Like, Pat Fitzgerald, it just feels like that Big Ten West kind of head coach. You know, like, I think that's how people still think of him. Oh, it's scrappy old Northwestern. And he never really got the chance to prove how good a coach he was on that big national scene because his teams were never quite that good. But talk to people around the Big Ten. I mean, there's still a lot of respect for Pat Fitzgerald, who he was.
And you don't think he could fit at Florida?
I think he could.
What about James Franklin at Florida?
I could see it. Would you rather, if you're Pat, okay, both guys, who's better for Florida? Who's better for Virginia Tech? Is the answer the same?
I think James Franklin is probably better at Florida, and Pat Fitzgerald's better at Virginia Tech. I think James Franklin has been successful in the SEC before.
Mm-hmm. Knows what it's like to be at the football school.
Right. I think he could be, you know, kind of like a beacon of life for them. I think Pat Fitzgerald fits like Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But if you're Stanford, you got to get Fitzgerald in your doors.
But the curve, at least for an interview. But you know what the curveball is? Florida State. I read somewhere where it's $100 million if they fired Norvell. 100.
It's a lot.
Now, here's the thing before we leave is like buyouts are different. See, the buyouts are all based on that if they never coach again. All these guys, Norvell, Fickell, they'll coach again.
But and you hate to that talk money about gets it. Mitigated.
Yeah. So it gets offset. Mm-hmm. So James Franklin will coach again. He already said he will.
Yeah. Well, listen to that game day interview. He's ready to get back at it.
But dude, when he said he was shocked, now I'm sure he kind of knew. When you get called, you probably knew what the deal was.
Well, did you hear what he said went down?
No.
He came into the building for team meetings at 1:30. Pat Kraft pulled him to the site at 1:15. Gave him 15 minutes to talk to people, had the team meeting, and he was out.
Oh, that's cool.
It happened on Sunday. Yeah, he came in for the 1:30 team meeting.
Yeah.
Pat Kraft caught him 15 minutes early, said, hey, pulling the plug, you're done. Talked to his guys, and that was that. That's what James Franklin said on game day on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you lose a home like that, that probably, you know, all right, that's it. I see it now. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Is there any good way to do it, though? If it was at 12, would that have been fine? I mean, you probably would have liked it a little bit. You know what I mean? Because, you know, everybody's reeling from the loss. You'd probably like to. But getting ready for next week, you know?
Is that one that you call the head coach into your office or you go to his office for? Because, like, I feel like if you call him into your office, it feels like, okay, he knows what's coming. But if, like, you have that rhythm of, hey, I'm going to check in your office.
Yeah, I think you got to. I'm sure the decision was made before 12.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, I got to get a hold of you.
Well, Kraft said it was made Saturday night, but he wanted to sleep on it to be double sure.
Well, you woke up and didn't at a reasonable time.
Right.
So I got to get a hold of you as soon as I wake up. Hey, that's why I slept on it, man. I just got to let you know.
I'll see you at the office. He'll be close enough.
I guess there ain't no right way. Anyways, that's a lot, man. We're going to see next week holds. We are now officially on the Northwestern. Right? Mm-hmm.
They just turned.
Yeah. So it's on and popping, man.
Well, it's not fully turned. You still got to hear from the coordinators regarding Minnesota tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think they'll just answer. It'll be business as usual. They understand the business. They're all veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any angst, probably they already had meetings about that. They'll be all right. So, anyways, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, old school. We'll holler at you.